Well, let's go through these real quickly, one at a time. Number one, mankind running, verses 7 and 8. What happens when a holy creator confronts his fallen creatures? They hide. The same thing happens to this day. And the reason most people resist God's word is that they're brought into the presence of God like their first parents. And anything we have to do that we must hide, we shouldn't be doing. I mean, unless it's the day before Christmas and you're wrapping a present and someone comes in on you, that's about the only thing I can think of you should hide. God says everything else should be naked and open before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And so anything that we have to hide is most likely wrong. And if you find someone that when you walk in the room they change the channel, when you find someone that they, you know, shut the book they're reading or the magazine they're looking at, or someone that's always turning their computer around so that no one can see what they're looking at, it says the righteous are as bold as a lion. The righteous can say, you can look at anything. You can look anywhere. You can look through anything of mine. There's nothing that I'm ashamed or afraid of. But it says the wicked run when nobody's even chasing them. They're guilty because they don't want a holy God to see what they're doing. Think about that in your life. Is there anything that you hope and wish and pray no one finds out about? You're running from God with that. Instead of spending your life trying to bury and hide and cover and get rid of all the evidence, the Bible says whoever confesses it, that means they bring it into the open and present it before God and say, I, the sinner, confess to you that I have done that and forsaketh it. That's what God, the Savior, offers, is absolute forgiveness and cleansing for those who will confess and forsake their sin. Well, mankind is running. Look at verse 9, but God is seeking. You notice God starts asking questions. Verse 9, the Lord called to Adam. He starts asking questions in verse 9. That's God seeking the running man and woman. But why did He ask questions? Certainly wasn't for information. He's omniscient. Certainly wasn't for illumination. He is the Lord of all. He is sovereign over all. He knows the end from the beginning. He was asking that man might be humbled to the point of personally confessing sin. That's the only reason. He was giving him an option to return to Him, to confess, to humble themselves. I enjoyed reading, and I'm going to read to you the Wittenberg pulpit where Martin Luther stood nearly 500 years ago. Someone sat out there and transcribed his sermons, and a lot of those are in his commentaries. And I was reading this week what Martin Luther preached on verse 9 alone as he ascended. I can remember being in Wittenberg and going up that little stairway that goes up that little raised place where he stood and taught at Wittenberg Church. This is what Martin Luther preached on this. He had 3 points the Sunday he preached on Genesis 3, verse 9. Number one, he said, sin is always progressive. Adam not only disobeys God, but look at verse 9. After God says, where are you? He says this in verse 10. I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid. God says, why are you hiding, Adam? Adam said, because you scared me. That's what he says. And if you look literally, Luther translated the Hebrew this way. I would not have fled if your voice had not frightened me. You know what he's saying? It's your fault. You made me this way. Isn't that what people say? I think so much of our years in New England working with the, as they call themselves, the gay community. I'll tell you what, after 6.5 years working with them, they're not gay. They're anything but gay. They're horribly ashamed. And they do anything to hide that shame internally. But you know what? They used to say, God made me this way. I said, God didn't make you that way. You made yourself that way. We're all born sinners. You chose to cultivate that sin till it dominates your life. Do you know what? Sin is progressive. Luther in his sermon in this passage concluded by saying this, thou, Lord, hast sinned. That's what Adam was saying. Not me that sinned, you sinned. You scared me. See, he didn't say, I disobeyed you. You see, God offered him the opportunity to confess and forsake his sin, and he didn't. He hid and fled and refused to confess. I can think of nothing more able to show sin's horror than the miserable tendency we all have as human beings to, in one way or another, blame the holy, all-wise God for our transgressions. See, sin is progressive. We sin and we progressively begin to blame God. It's your fault. You gave me the wrong wife, you gave me the wrong body, you gave me the wrong income, you gave me the wrong mind, whatever. It's your fault, God, not mine. Sin is progressive. Secondly, Luther said, sin is the same everywhere. Sometimes we look outwardly at sin, and thus we see some sins as worse than others. This is because we judge a person's circumstances rather than looking at them with God's holy character. In fact, the great preacher Donald Barnhouse once told of a missionary journey in which he saw the great old north road which led out of Calcutta toward the northwest frontier. The old road was hardened and mud-packed dirt road that had been used for centuries. As he traveled on that, he was on actually the paved portion of it from modern times. In the rainy seasons, as they traveled, they saw travelers on the old road, the old mud road, sloshing and struggling through mud that sometimes would get up to their knees. And when a traveler was invited by Barnhouse and his caravan on this paved road, when they would call out the window of their caravan and say, will some of you in the mud like to come up and walk up here on the pavement? They would gladly come out of the mud. And they found it was easier to walk on the paved road. But the illustration Barnhouse drew is so clear. Even when the way gets easier, it is still the same old man on the same old road headed in the same old direction. And Jesus said as much in Matthew 7 when he says, broad is the road that leads to destruction. There's a paved section of the road that goes to hell where lost people seem to have it easy. And there's a muddy section down in the ditch where some people always have it so hard. Whether you're driving along in a car or slugging through the mud. You see, sin is the same everywhere. It just appears to be different. It appears the people in the gutter are worse than the people in the fine linen suit. God says both are on the road to destruction. Finally, Luther said, sin blinds us to God's goodness. As Adam and Eve were not instantly consumed and cast into outer darkness, that reminds us of God's grace. Sin blinds us to that grace. Sin is like a cloud that obscures God from sight. And we stumble through life with our self-produced blinders on. We never look up at the goodness of God and see that the goodness of God leads to repentance. He leaves us here on earth that we might have opportunity to repent and turn to Him.